Blog Talk Radio.
What a moment you have brought me through. Woo, hallelujah. Thanking God that he's brought us through to another day, to another day to be together, to another day to be blessed, to another day to spend time with God. Thanking God this morning for his time and allowing us to spend some time in his word. I stand on his word. I stand on his promise. Whew, hallelujah. My soul says yes this morning. My soul says yes to his will, to his way. I will trust and obey. Hallelujah. Are you ready to trust and obey the word of God today? Are you ready to get in his word? You know, on Friday we were in the book of Romans. And today we will be Old Testament Sunday. We will be in Job, Psalm, and Proverbs. And I can only say, wow, the word of God is great. For our Redeemer lives. Can you say it with me? My Redeemer lives. Even when I'm going through, for I know my Redeemer lives. Job was going through, but he never gave up on God. On himself, yes. On God, no. We can never give up on God. Even though folks will talk about you, drag your name through the mud, but you can't give up on God. Hallelujah. But he is your strength. He is your Redeemer. He is your absolute. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Father God in heaven, I thank you this morning for this mighty word that you have given us, God, to walk right, talk right, be right. Lord God, we ask you to watch over your children today. But we know that the enemy is going to throw up every stumbling block he can to keep your children out of your house, God. But Lord, we lift up, give you all the glory and praise, knowing that all things are going to work for our good. Because why? We trust in you, Lord. We trust in you. We know that you can and you will guide us and lead us and take us travel. But you are our Redeemer and you live, God. You live in the highest of heights. You live in the deepest of depths. You live in our hearts, minds, and spirits. But we honor you this morning, Lord God, with our study, with our hearts open wide to receive a word from you, God. Father God, I lift up this word asking you to bless it and bless each and every one that is listening to it. So, Father God, I ask for you to watch over pastors today as they go forth with words of encouragement, with words of correction, with words that are given from you, God. I ask special blessings over pastors today, Lord God, as they move forward in service, oh God. Give them strength, give them wisdom, give them what to say. Remove all flesh, Lord. Enemy is trying to throw flesh in to the services today. The enemy will try to throw confusion into the services today. The enemy will try to throw politics into the services today. But Lord God, we ask you to bind and remove all things of flesh and put in your Holy Spirit. Let truth be truth and lies be lies. And let the congregants see which are wolves and which are your shepherds and which are wolves, ravenous wolves, seeking to kill and destroy the spirit and your church, oh God. Father God, I lift this word up again, asking you, Lord God, to increase as I decrease. Asking you, Lord God, to let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. For you, Lord God, are my strength, and you are my redeemer. I humbly submit myself to you to be used by you on this day, O God, and always. I look up, give you honor, glory, and praise. In Jesus' name, I thank you for another day, Lord God, because you didn't have to wake me up this morning, but you did. In Jesus' name, amen. God did not have to wake us up this morning, but he did. And all we can say is, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your kindness. Thank you, Lord, for the peace and the joy that can only come from you. Thank you, Lord, for all things good and perfect are yours, God. And all I can say is thank you. Thank you with my heart. Thank you with my soul. Thank you with my mind. Thank you with my whole spirit. Thank you, Lord. I call on your name, Lord Jesus, and I just say thank you. Hallelujah. Thanking God for all things come from him, including the breath in our bodies. So let's get started today. You know, this morning I was working on this message, and what came in my mind was that words hurt. Words hurt. And then God said, I'm the Redeemer, and I live. So even though folks will come at you with that wicked tongue, say awful things to you, make you feel like you're less than, take your name and drag it through the proverbial mud. Know this, your Redeemer lives. You trust in God. I trust in God. And it don't matter what people say. People can say whatever they want to, but they have no hell or no heaven to send you to. The only voice that you trust is the voice of God. So we lean on our Father God. We are trusting in the Lord and leaning not into our own understanding. We got to acknowledge him and watch him direct our path. For our Redeemer lives. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. As the song said, he walks with me. He talks with me. We got to have a conversation with God. We got to have a conversation with our Savior. But we know that we are children of the Lord. What did he say on Friday? We are grafted in. We are grafted in. And we got to remember who we belong to. You know, we belong to God. But it says in Romans 11 and 18, if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. Hallelujah. So let's get into our Job word this morning. We are coming. If you want to grab your Bibles, because this is Bible study. And I know that it can be like, oh, my God, it's so boring. But understand, when we get to know the word gets to know us. When we study and show ourselves approved and meditate on this word day and night, we get understanding. And with understanding, we gain knowledge. And with knowledge, we gain the truth, which is Jesus, our Lord and Savior. So we got to keep getting as much as we can. And I know some people are like, oh, God, she's going to read the Bible again. Yes, that's what this is. This is Bible study. We read the Bible. My assignment is to read the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation in 1 year. That's my assignment. There are so many shows out there. There's so many blogs and podcasts that if you just want somebody, if you want to talk about hair care and all those things, then that's where to go. But if you want to study the Word of God, this is for you. So that's all I can say is I have my assignment. This is my time with God that I share with you. And that because God gave me the assignment 1 year, 1 year, whole Bible. And this is my second year doing it. And I'm doing it one more year because that's what God told me, 3 years. I will read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And if you join me, I thank you. I thank you for joining me because you will have knowledge. You will, that word will pop into your mind when you least expect it. A word that you heard, a word that you read will pop into your mind, and you will also know the word in context. So when you are sitting in a pew on Sunday, you will know this word because you will say, oh, wait a minute now. I just read that with Minister Bridget, and that's not what it says, because your context will get into your mind. So when somebody comes up with a false message, you will know, that's not right. And you will understand, that's not in context. Because folks love to throw out the word and preach it up. And then you read it yourself, and you're like, that's not what the word of God said. And so that's why I'm so grateful to go to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. And that's what we have to look for. If you are not opening your word on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you got to do some work. We got to open this word at least every day. Even if it's just reading a scripture, open your word every day. Because I tell you this, it will change your life. It will change your life. So let's get into this word. So everybody hopefully has your Bible now. We are in Job chapter 15 through Job chapter 20, 29. So again, Job chapter 15 through Job chapter 20, verse 29. We will also be in Psalm 94, starting at verse 20. And we will be going up to the 95th Psalm, to verse 11. So again, 94 Psalm starting at verse 20 to 95th Psalm ending at verse 11. And our proverb is starting at Proverbs chapter 22. So hopefully you've been able to write those down. And let's get started. We got a lot of words this morning. And it says this, starting in chapter 15. It says, then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, should a wise man answer with empty knowledge and fill himself with the east wind? Should he reason with unprofitable talk or by speeches with which he can do no good? Yes, you cast off fear and restrain prayer before God, for your iniquity teaches your mouth and you choose the tongue of the crafty. Your own mouth condemns you and not I. Yes, your own lips testify against you. Are you the first man who was born, or were you made before the year? Have you heard the counsel of God? Do you limit wisdom to yourself? What do you know that we do not know? What do you understand that is not in us? Both the gray hair and the age are among us, much older than your father. Are the consolations of God too small for you and the word spoken gently with you? Why does your heart carry you away? And what do your eyes wink at, that you turn your spirit against God and let such words go out of your mouth? What is a man that he could be pure, and he who is born a woman that he could be righteous? If God puts no trust in his saints and the heavens are not pure in his sight, how much less man who is abominable and filthy, who drinks iniquity like water? I will tell you, hear me. What I have seen, I will declare. What wise men have told, not hiding anything received from their fathers, to whom alone the land was given, and no alien passed among them. The wicked man withers with pain all his days, and the number of years is hidden from the oppressor. Dreadful sounds in his ears. In prosperity, the destroyer comes upon him. He does not believe that he will return from darkness, for a sword is waiting for him. He wanders about for bread, saying, where is it? He knows that a day of darkness is ready at his hand. Trouble and anguish make him afraid. They overpower him like a king ready for battle. But he stretches out his hand against God and acts defiantly against the Almighty, running stubbornly against him with his strong embossed shield. Though he has covered his face with his fatness and made his waist heavy with fat, he dwells in desolate cities, in houses which no one inhabits, which are destined to become ruins. He will not be rich, nor will his wealth continue, nor will his possessions overspread the earth. He will not depart from darkness. The flame will dry out his branches, and by the breath of his mouth he will go away. Let him not trust in brutal things, deceiving himself. For futility will be his reward. It will be accomplished before his time, and his branches will not be green. He will shake off his unripe grape the vine and cast off his blossom like an olive tree. For the company of hypocrites will be barren, and fire will consume the tents of bribery. They conceive trouble and bring forth brutality. Their womb prepares deceit. Wow. With a friend like that, who needs an enemy? And this is what the life lesson from Dr. Stanley says. In Job 15 and 9, what do you know that we do not know? When people start measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, they are not wise. 2 Corinthians 10 and 12. Why? We are all ignorant in ways unknown to us, especially when compared to God. You know, I cannot compare myself to you, and you can't compare yourself to me. We are all individual. We are all individually, wonderfully made by God. And he has given each of us our irrevocable gifts and callings. Whatever you're called to do, you're called to do. I can't do it. Whatever I'm called to do, you may not be able to do it either. But we may be called to the same kind of blessing. So we both can do it. We may do it differently, but we do what we are called to do. Don't compare yourself to anyone else, because you are wonderful in your own right. Hallelujah. And I have to do my daily disclaimer. We are coming this year out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year Signature Series. I am coming out of the New King James Version. They do have King James and NIV. I think they have NLT also in this Bible. And I will tell everyone who is listening, you know, please, this Bible is one of the best Bibles I have ever had in my biblical arsenal. And I have a lot of Bibles because I like to read and I like to study and I like to get knowledge, because God's word is the best knowledge we can have. It's better than a dictionary, and it's better than any history book I've ever read, because it is his history. It's our history. It is the best novel I've ever read. It's the best mystery I've ever solved, which I haven't solved yet, but I'm trying. You know, we got all kind of things in this book. You have intrigue. You have murder. You have everything. You name it. It is in this book. You know, if you like to read novels, you can read this word, and you will have the best book ever. When you think about the intrigue of palace life, you know, for those Game of Thrones folks, you know, thinking about what was going on in the time of Hezekiah and Jeroboam, you know, Daniel and the three Hebrew boys getting thrown in the fiery furnace, and instead of being three people, there's four. Ooh, being put in a lion's den, and guess what? The lions don't eat you up. Hanging a noose for somebody else and getting hung on it yourself. Entry, power, everything you think of in your mind is in this book. You think about it. It's in this book. Some horror of horrors. It's in this book. Think about them zombie folk, dry bones coming back together. And, whew, it's like, oh, man. Then you think about, oh, my, you know, for the thoughts of the wheel way up in the middle of the air. And Elijah was taken up. Enoch walked with God and he was no more. Everything you think about it is in the book. And then your mind can go wandering off and say, are the aliens really aliens? Think about that. No, they're really aliens. Because they say foreigner for people that are not. And then they say aliens walk among us. But what are they talking about? You know, that sci-fi mind may take you there. But we got to come back into the reality of life. And, but the word of God is that good, is what I'm saying. Trust in God's word and watch him work. He will enlighten your mind. When you think of the book of Revelations and you start to see what's coming, it's terrifying. It can be it's a horror movie. But it's the word of God. Whatever your heart desires, it's in the word. Now y'all can get all excited because God's word is awesome. And I tell you this, when you watch certain movies, you will find out. Obviously, this director also reads the word of God because he just stole a whole story. He just stole it. But if you don't read the word of God, you just see, oh, that is a great show. That's a stolen show. If you listen to names of places and things, you're like, wait a minute, that sounds familiar. Yeah, you read it in the word of God. And they took a town from God's word and put it in a movie. They took something from the word of God and put it in that story. Then his story is the best story. So let's get back into his story. And now Job is getting ready to speak to this, I'm going to call him, so-called friend. You know, we all got him, that so-called friend. You know, the one that just seems not to be there when you need a friend and a shoulder to cry on. They just, sorry, I got to wash my hair. Oh, I'm sorry. It's raining and I just washed my car. No, friend is a friend. Let's get closer than a brother. And sometimes all a friend needs to do is listen. And let's get to the word. In Job 16, then Job answered and said, I have heard many such things. Miserable confidence are you all. Shall words and wind have an end? Or what provokes you that you answer? I also could speak as you do. If your soul were in my soul's place, I could help. I can heap up words against you and shake my head at you. But I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the comfort of my lips will relieve your grief. Though I speak, my grief is not relieved. And if I remain silent, how am I eased? But now he has sworn, he has worn me out. He's like, my God. You have made desolation all my company. You have shriveled me up, and it is a witness against me. My leanness rises up against me and bears witness to my face. He tears me in his wrath and hates me. He gnashes at me with his teeth. My adversary sharpens his gaze on me. They gape at me with their mouth. They strike me reproachfully. They gather together against me. God has delivered me to the ungodly and turned me over to the hands of the wicked. I was at ease, but he has shattered me. when we go through, we think that God has taken it. Oh, God, it's like he don't love me anymore. But no, our Redeemer lives. For I know my Redeemer lives. We got to know that God lives in our hearts and our minds, even though we are going through right now. And then he goes on to tell us, he also has taken me by my neck and shaken me to pieces. He has set me up for his target. His archers surround me. He pierces my heart and does not pity. He pours out my skull on the ground. He breaks me with wound upon wound. He runs at me like a warrior. I have thrown sackcloth over my skin and laid my head in the dust. My face is flushed from weeping, and on my eyelids is the shadow of death. Although no violence is in my hands, and my prayer is pure. Oh, earth, do not cover my blood, and let my cry have no resting place. Surely, even now, my witness is in heaven, and my evidence is on high. My friends scorn me. My eyes pour out tears to God. Oh, that one might plead for a man with God, as a man pleads neighbor. But when a few years are finished, I shall go the way of no return. Whew, that, it breaks your heart when you read that, because you feel his pain. And when we go to Job 16:5, it says, I would strengthen you with my mouth, and the comfort of my lips will relieve your grief. And this is the word, our words have the power to tear down and bring grief, or the power to give strength and comfort. Every day we choose what kind of power we will wield, and God is watching. God's watching everything we do. He watches and hears everything we say. See, in 19, he tears me in his wrath and hates me. When we pray in our anguish and nothing seems to change, and we cry out in our pain and it only increases, we wonder if God has become our enemy. Never. He loves us and always will. Just go and check out Romans 8:39. God loves you. He loves me. He will discipline us. He will allow the enemy to come at us. Yes, he will. But understand, whatever happens, God is always in control. Don't allow the sneaky snake to make you think that the Lord does not love you, because he does. He loves you completely and totally. And this is a word that Dr. Stanley gave us in a question that Satan calls all of our adversity. The answer is no. We give the devil credit for everything. Ooh, the devil made me stump my toe. Get behind me, Satan. Uh-uh. You stumped your toe because you got too much stuff on the floor. No, we can't always, sometimes the problems are our own. We got to not always be trying to say the devil this and the devil that. The devil is not all that. He can only be in one place at one time. Whereas God is everywhere, all times. He is always watching and waiting. He is the watcher. He knows everything about you. He has put angels surrounding you. We have got to understand that everything is not the devil's fault. Some things are our own. Most things are our own. We've got to cut it out. Some things are spiritual attacks, because we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. We got to remember that too. And this is what it says, while the book of Job makes it obvious that the devil can and does afflict us, some of our adversity comes simply because we live in a fallen world. All people, believers and non-believers alike, suffer adversity not caused by anything we or others have done. 11:1-13, 1-5, Jesus declared that victims of two separate local tribes. These died not because they had sinned worse than anyone else in Jerusalem, but simply because they were at the wrong place at the wrong time. In a fallen world, any of us could die at any time, and that is why we must always be ready to stand before God. Adversity can also come into our lives as a result of personal sin. Each sin we commit carries some consequence. A natural overflow of adversity tailored to the nature of our disobedience in causes like this. We can't blame God, the devil, or others. We must follow David's example and say, I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me against you. You only have sinned and done this evil in your sight. Let's say that I hear a juicy rumor and choose to gossip about it. Then imagine that the news turns out to be completely untrue. Do we see it every day? All you got to do is turn on the news. You turn on Fox News. You turn on CNN. You turn on MSNBC. You turn on Sirius. You turn on this podcast, that podcast. And before long, you're so confused because each one is saying something different. And then you got to try to figure out which one is telling the truth. You know, one says this happened. One says that happened. One says this is awful. One says this is good. One says this is bad. One says this is ugly. One says this is out magnificent. Mine all messed up. And sometimes what you need to do is turn it all off and get into some time with God. But it's the truth. No one trusts me anymore. I am rightly seen as a malicious gossip. I have destroyed my public witness. I can't blame anyone else for what happened. It was my own fault. When you become a gossip and tell stuff that you don't know what you're talking about, keep your tongue behind your teeth. Words can hurt. But the one thing we know without any doubt is that our Redeemer lives. We thank God daily for Jesus Christ. Finally, some adversity comes straight from Almighty God. We don't like to think about this one, but let's be clear. God is ultimately concerned with our spiritual growth, not with our happiness or more monetary pleasure. He always has the big picture in mind whenever he allows our sins adversity into our lives. So David wrote, I know, O Lord, that your judgments are right, and that is that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. Psalm 119:75. Unfortunately, adversity is often the only thing that will get our attention. I once heard a fine teacher explain it this way. This is Dr. Sally speaking, and I can say that too. God whispers it to us in our pleasure, speaks to us in our conscience, but shouts at us in adversity. If God doesn't get our attention through his blessings or by stringing our conscience, or stinging our conscience, then he will certainly put us flat on our backs in adversity so that we can get the message. And I can honestly say that happens to me. God will knock me on my hiney. I'm like, oh, God, I'm hurting. Oh, God, this is going on. Oh, God, that's going on. And God said, I'm trying to get your attention. You're doing too much. You're doing too much. You need to take a minute, set your little stuff down, and rest. You're doing too much. You're going here and there and not accomplishing what you're trying to accomplish. But yet you're crying to me about it. All you got to do is just do it. You know, we cry to God about everything. When God said, oh, excuse me, did you do your budget this month? Then don't come crying to me about your money. Oh, excuse me, did you do the laundry? Then don't come calling me about you don't have anything to wear. You know, we got to stop and take a minute because God will put you on, will tell you all about yourself. He will tell you off. God will tell you off. We can get upset. We can get mad. We can get angry. We can ask why. And the God, what God told me one day when I asked, I did. I'm just being honest. I got to speak for myself. Ask God why in a situation. Why me? And you know what? I heard that voice as clear as day. Why not you? That hurts. Why not you? It hurt my feelings. It hurt my feelings. And God said, why not you? I was devastated. And then it gave me a clarity. Why not me? Why not me? Who do I think I am that I can't deal with adversity? Why not me? And I cried. I cried because it hurt, because it was the truth. Why not me? Why not? I felt like I had lost everything. And God said, why not you? And it made me stronger. It made me understand that a title is that, a title. That money is that money. That status is that status. And none of those things can you take with you. You can't take your car that you like so much that gets flooded out. Find out it's truly not your friend. You can't take your house. You can't take the pretty clothes. You can't take anything with you. The only thing that goes with us is the spirit inside of us. Is your spirit right with God? Do you realize your Redeemer lives in you? He lives. And he loves you. And he walks with you. And he talks with you. And he cares about you. And he's good, the bad, the ugly. He's there. Job is hurting. And his friends don't understand that. So let's keep going in our word this morning. We may not make it to our Psalms and our Proverbs, but we're going to work on Job today. We'll catch our Psalms and Proverbs tomorrow. But this is what God is putting in my heart. And in Job 17, it says, my spirit is broken. My days are extinguished. The grave is ready for me. Are not mockers with me? And does not my eye dwell on their provocation? Now put down a pledge for me with yourself. Who is he who will shake hands with me? For you have hidden your heart from understanding. Therefore you will not exalt them. He who speaks flattery to his friends and even the eyes of his children will fail. But he has made me a byword of the people. And I have become one of whose face men spit. My eyes has also grown dim because of sorrow, and all my members are like shadows. Upright men are astonished at this, and the innocent stirs himself up against the hypocrite. Yet the righteous will hold to his way, and he who has clean hands will be stronger and stronger. But please come back again, all of you, for I shall not find one wise man among you. My days are past, my purposes are broken off, even the thoughts of my heart. They change the night into day. The light is near. They say in the face of darkness, if I wait for the grave as my house, if I make my bed in the darkness, if I say to corruption, you are my father, and to the worm, you are my mother and my sister, where then is my hope? As for my hope, who can see it? Will they go down to the gates of Sheol? Shall we have rest together in the dust? Then here comes that friend with the tongue. Then Belidad the Shuhite answered and said, how long till you put an end to words, gain understanding, and afterwards we will speak? Why are we counted as deep and regarded as stupid in your sight? You who tear yourself in anger, shall the earth be forsaken for you? Or shall the rock be removed from its place? The light of the wicked indeed goes out, and the flame of his fire does not shine. The light is dark in his tent, and his lamp beside him is put out. The steps of his strength are shortened, and his own counsel casts him down. But he is cast into a net by his own feet, and he walks into a snare. The net takes him by the heel, and a snare lays hold of him. A noose is hidden for him on the ground, and a trap for him in the road. Terror frightens him on every side and drives him to his feet. His strength is dark, and destruction is ready at his side. It devours patches of his skin. Whew. The firstborn of death devours his limbs. He is uprooted from the shelter of his tent. And they parade him up before the king of terrors. They dwell in his tent who are none of his. Brimstone is scattered on his dwelling. His roots are dried out below, and his branch withers away. The memory of him perishes from the earth, and he has no name among the renowned. He is driven from light into darkness and chased out of the world. He has neither son nor prosperity among his people, not any remaining in his dwelling. Those in the west are astonished at his day, and those in the east are frightened. Surely such are the dwellings of the wicked, and this is the place of him who does not know God. Do you want that person at your place? And then I love this verse in 17 and 5. Where then is my hope? In Christ, we have all the hope we will ever need, regardless of our circumstances. God has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 1 Peter 1 and 3. We are blessed beyond measure because we have hope in Jesus. Job chapter 19. One thing I say about Job don't play. He going to go back at you. He's not going to say, you ain't going to talk about me, and I'm not going to give you a response. You know, sometimes we need to be quiet and keep our tongue behind our teeth. But, you know, one thing about Job, he is not going to let you dog him out. He's going to tell you what he feels and what he thinks. And so all his so-called friends, as they give their judgment of everything. But, you know, understand that we are all sons and daughters of God. And God will talk to you. Keep talking and saying whatever you want to say. And you will hear that voice in the middle of the night that will wake you up and tell you about yourself. And as we continue, it says in Job 19, it says, then Job answered and said, how long will you torment my soul and break me in pieces with words? Words hurt. This little membrane behind our teeth hurts. When you speak things you don't understand, your words can cut like a knife. We got to be careful what we say to each other, because you might be hitting a nerve of somebody who's going through and you don't even know it. You just think, oh, they running late all the time. You don't know what they're going through. You don't know what they're going through. You know, or, ooh, here she come again. You know, with them wrinkled clothes. But do you go out and buy them an iron, or do you just sit and talk about them? Because you never know. They may not have an iron and ironing board, and they need that. But you sitting there talking about their wrinkled clothes. I don't know what's going on in this day and age. Kids walking around all in wrinkled clothes. Maybe somebody has not taught us. We got to stop putting our tongue on people. We got to start lifting up and not tear down. And I'm not speaking to all y'all. I'm talking to Bridget. Because we got to start with ourselves. I'm talking to me. Because I know my little mouth can go somewhere. And I have to say, Lord, forgive me. And I have to put my tongue right back behind my teeth. Because it's easy to tear down. But it's harder to build up after you've torn down. So let's try to keep building up and not tear down. And this is what Job says. And Job answered and said, how long will you torment my soul and break me in pieces with words? These 10 times you have reproached me. You are not ashamed that you have wronged me. And if indeed I have erred, my error remains with me. If indeed you exact yourselves against me and plead my disgrace against me, know then that God has wronged me and has surrounded me with his net. If I cry out concerning wrong, I am not heard. If I cry aloud, there is no justice. He has fenced up my way so that I cannot pass. And he has set darkness in my path of my glory and taken the crown from my head. He breaks me down on every side and I am gone. My hope he has uprooted like a tree. He has also kindled his wrath against me. And he counts me as one of his enemies. His troops come together and build up their road against me. They encamp all around my tent. He has removed my brothers far from me, and my acquaintances are completely estranged from me. My relatives have failed, and my close friends have forgotten me. Those who dwell in my house and my maidservant count me as a stranger. I am an alien in their sight. I call my servant, but he gives me no answer. I beg him with my mouth. My breath is offensive to my wife, and I am impulsive to the children of my own body. Even young children despise me. I arise, and they speak against me. All my close friends abhor me, and those whom I love have turned against me. My bones cling to my skin and to my flesh, and I have escaped by the skin of my teeth. Have pity on me. Have pity on me. Oh, you, my friends, for the hand of God has struck me. Why do you persecute me as God does and are not satisfied with my flesh? Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. That they were engraved on a rock with an iron pin and leave forever. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God. Woo, hallelujah. Our title comes from this scripture here. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And we know Jesus came, did it for us. And after my skin is destroyed, that I know that in my flesh I shall see God. Because God's word tells, absent from the body is in the presence of the Lord, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. Now my heart yearns within me. If you should say, how shall we persecute him, since the root of the matter is found in me? Be afraid of the sword for yourselves, for wrath brings the punishment of the sword, that you might may know there is a judgment. We all have to stand before God. Hallelujah. And then it goes on to say, then Zophar the Nemahite answered and said, therefore my anxious thoughts make me answer because of the turmoil within me. I have heard the rebuke that reproaches me, and the spirit of my understanding causes me to answer. Do you not know this of old? Since man was placed on earth, that the triumphing of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite is but for a moment. Though this haughtiness mounts up to the heavens and his head reaches to the clouds, yet he will perish forever like his own refuge. Those who have seen him will say, where is he? He will fly away like a dream and not be found. Yes, he will be chased away like a vision of the night. The eye that saw him will see him no more, nor will his place behold him anymore. His children will seek the favor of the poor, for his hands will restore his wealth. His bones are full of his youthful vigor, but it will lie down with him in the dust. Though evil is sweet in his mouth, and he hides it under his tongue, though he spares it and does not forsake it, but will keep it in his mouth, yet his food in his stomach turns sour. It becomes cobra venom within him. He swallows down riches and vomits them up again. God casts him out of his belly. He will suck the poison of cobras. The viper's tongue will slay him. He will not see the streams. The rivers flowing with honey and cream. He will restore that for which he labored and will not swallow it down. From the proceeds of business, he will get no enjoyment, for he has oppressed and forsaken the poor. He has violently seized the house which he did not build, because he knows no quietness in his heart. He will not save anything he desires. Nothing is left for him to eat. Therefore, his well-being will not last. In his self-sufficiency, he will be in distress. Every hand of misery will come against him. When he is about to fill his stomach, God will cast on him the fury of his wrath. And it will rain on him while he is eating. He will flee from the iron weapon. A bronze bow will pierce him through. It is drawn and comes out of the body. Just the glittering points come out of his gall. Terror comes upon him. Total darkness is reserved for his treasure. An unfanned fire will consume him. It shall go ill with him who is left in his tent. The heavens will reveal his iniquity, and the earth will rise up against him. The increase of his house will depart, and his goods will flow away in the day of his wrath. This is a portion from God for a wicked man, the heritage appointed to him by God. Wow. Friends like this, who needs enemies? And just a life question, how can I handle criticism during adversity? When you're going through, it hurts and somebody comes at you in a wrong way. It hurts you. And I love this word that Dr. Stanley says. He said, at times, you must say aloud to yourself, I know that God has a purpose in this. I know that God will bring me through this. I know that God is a good and loving Father and that he is going to do a good and eternal work in my life. If no one else speaks hope to you, then you need to speak it to yourself. Sometimes, and it's all said, we got to encourage ourselves. And as we go back into the life lessons from Dr. Stanley, he says, oh, that my words were written on, that they were inscribed in a book. Job 19:23, even as Job spoke these words, God was getting ready to put them in the book of books, the Bible, for all time and for the benefit of his hurting people. He is at work even when we do not know it. What you say is coming to fruition. Job was asking, story be in a book, and it is. Job 24:5, do you not know that the triumphing of the wicked is short? This is only half of the story. The other half is that the suffering of the righteous is short, and the agony of the godly is but for a moment, Romans 8:18. Present pain does not necessarily reveal divine judgment. Don't let anybody put you in a box. You are a son and daughter of the Most High God. And only God can, only God can judge you. Don't let yourself be put down and made to feel bad. You are who God says you are. Not what people say, but what God says. And the word of God in Psalm 94. Verse 20 says, shall the throne of iniquity which devises evil by law have fellowship with you? They gather together against the life of the righteous and condemn innocent blood. But the Lord has been my defense and my God, the rock of my refuge. He has brought on them their own iniquity and shall cut them off in their own wickedness. The Lord our God shall cut them off. Woo, you got to give it to God, whatever the situation is. 95th Psalm. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Our Redeemer lives, family. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with songs. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands are the deep places of the earth. The height of the hills are his also. The sea is his, but he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Are you giving praises to the Lord today? But he is good, and his mercy endures. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Ooh, hallelujah. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of the trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me. They tried me, though they saw my work. 40 years I was grieved with that generation, and said, it is a people who go astray in the heart, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Oh, hallelujah. God will speak to us when we're not doing right. Let's keep it going. Proverbs chapter 22, starting at verse 28. Do not remove the ancient landmarks which your fathers have set. Do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. 23rd Proverbs, starting at verse 1. When you sit down to eat with a ruler, consider carefully what is before you and put a knife to your throat. If you are a man given to appetite, do not desire his delicacies, for they are deceptive food. Overwork to be rich. Because of your own understanding, seek. You will set your eyes on that which is not. For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. Wow, we got through all of our words today. Thank you, God. Thanking God for that. But let's go back into our Proverbs and Psalms and get some life lessons today. In Psalm 95 and 8, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion, as in the days of trial in the wilderness. The writer of Hebrews quotes this verse 3 times in one short section of his letter, Hebrews 3, 7, and 8, 15, 4, and 7, to encourage his readers to listen carefully to God and to demonstrate their faith by obeying him. When we stop listening is when we get into trouble. Woo, hallelujah, that's so true. But one thing we all know that we can stand up on is that our lives. He lives in us. He lives today. He lives forever. Our Redeemer lives. And as we go into the word of Psalms 96 and 1, sing to the Lord a new song. Why does Scripture encourage us to sing a new song to the Lord? Old songs are good too, but new songs help us to see God in a fresh light and to appreciate him in a new way. Thanking God for this word this morning. Thanking God for each and every one of you. Before we get out of here, a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning. And it says this. Good morning. Be grateful for today and never take anything for granted. Life is a blessing. Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Psalm 62 and 8. So understand our Redeemer lives. He lives in me. He lives in you. He lives in us. Have a blessed day, family. For those that can stay a little longer, I have a prayer from our 365. But if you must leave, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day in the Lord. For God is good and his mercy endures forever at all times. Our Redeemer lives. For I know my Redeemer lives. He lives in you. He lives in me. He lives. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for redeeming us with your blood. And before we get out of here this morning, a word from God. Humble servant, if anyone slaps you on one cheek, offer him the other cheek too. If someone takes your coat, do not stop him from taking your shirt. Luke 6:29. It says, Almighty God, you are the epitome of greatness, all-powerful, all-knowing. You are the Alpha and Omega. In you all things were created, and in you all things will find their completion. Nothing in this world, physically or spiritually. Oh, Jesus, thank you. I'm just getting feel that. Hallelujah. There is nothing in this world, physically or spiritually, that is too difficult for you to overcome. You are the King of all, and yet you became the example of what it means to be a humble servant. When you were cursed, slandered, and beaten, you did not fight back. Surely, if you did, no one could take you. Your great love caused you to lead us into a revolution of compassion. Our strength is not found in what we gain in fighting, but what we gain in laying down our lives for others. How opposite is that is from the world's ways. When I am tempted to assert power over others in your name, may I be convicted to my very core. In your name, I will lay down my rights and offenses so I can love no matter the cost. Give me grace to live like you, Jesus. And all I can say today is thanking God for allowing us to be his humble servants and thanking God for his son, our Lord and Savior, our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who lives. Have a blessed day, family. We got through all the word this morning. I thank God for it. And just a reminder, find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church as you move forward. Have a blessed and wonderful day, family. It is a wrap. Why, you all be blessed. Have a great day. Bye. It's a wrap.